Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking? My name is Jim Rome. Great to be with you on this Tuesday. Fact of the matter is, I think I am more cold right now than I've been at any time since I was at the AFC Championship game in Kansas City. I'm flashing back to Arrowhead. Reason for that, we did some production yesterday after the program. We iced up the box. We forgot to turn the thermostat back on. If you can see me right now, I am jacketed. Tommy, are there gloves? Are there hand warmers? I don't remember the last time I was this cold inside of a building.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
Nah, Alvy, it's not on you. It's on me. It's my studio. I should have walked in. I never walk into the studio until right before the program. So I found out too late. So that bad boy is like in the 50s. All right, welcome to the program. Telephone number is toll-free. We are wide open in first hour. 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing. If you want to find me on the X platform, do that. At Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Also, email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We are talking Sweet 16 today. Rick Barnes, the head basketball coach of Tennessee, joins me at the top of hour number two. Also, we'll talk some more Creighton ball. In fact, ironically, they're playing one another. The head coach at Creighton, Greg McDermott, joins me at 11:40. So, love that matchup. Tennessee and Creighton, both of those coaches. Somebody's going to get the karma. I don't know which way it goes, but that is a great matchup. If you want to get in and talk about anything relating to the tournament, go ahead and do so right now. Don't wait on me. Hell, I'm going to have hypothermia before the end of this segment. I think I've got frostbite already. 1-800-636-8686. Remember that one time I tried to walk out of the studio and I was looking at my phone and I smashed into the camera? If I were to go put my tongue on that camera right now, it would get stuck. We'd have to cancel the show. Or I would be doing the show from Luke Bond and Greg McDermott. I am not going to. Never mind. Don't worry. I'm not going to lick on the camera. I know better. All right. So you do your job now. I'm about to do mine. Alvy, you've got a lick on the camera sound drop. Incredible. All right. Start dialing. The man has spoken. Finally, Shohei. Shohei finally addressed the media yesterday as on one of the most convoluted and confusing controversies you're ever going to see. And he was about as convincing as you can sound, speaking through an interpreter without fielding any questions and almost no cameras. Which is to say, he was not convincing at all. Like, I want to believe the dude. And to be clear, I am not Team Tinfoil. I am not trying to play Fox Mulder here and tell you there's some grand conspiracy or some enormous cover-up going on. I'm not here to say that. However, after that 15-minute presser, well, 12-minute statement, I and pretty much everybody else still have the exact same doubts, the same exact questions, and the same exact confusion, and the same lack of answers that we all had going in. It was not surprising that we basically got the long-form version of Story B from Shohei. Story A was that Shohei covered Ipe's $4.5 million debt willingly. Story B, which came a day later, was that Shohei had no idea about the gambling or the debt, and that Ipe stole the money from him to pay down that debt. After he pushed his best friend in front of that train, clearly they are best friends no more. Again, while he spoke, he didn't answer any of the questions that we needed answers to. Namely, how the hell did Story A change to Story B? Which one was it? Why did it change so dramatically and so quickly? Next, how did Shohei only find out about any of this last Wednesday? And how was he completely left out of the loop by his own reps, an attorney, and the Dodgers prior to last Wednesday when they clearly had knowledge that something was going on. They knew ESPN was working that story. How is it that none of Shohei's reps alerted him to that fact? Because again, Shohei would tell you, oh, I didn't know anything about it at all. I knew nothing about it. Yeah, but how is that possible? Shohei's reps knew about it. They knew ESPN was working on it. So I find it very, very hard to believe that he knew nothing until Wednesday. I find that very hard to believe. I mean, how the hell is that even possible? The team knew his team to tell Ipe that he can go ahead and tell a story to ESPN. Shohei's reps told Ipe, go ahead, talk to ESPN. But Shohei himself knew nothing about any of this at that time? I mean, get the hell out of here with that. I'm not saying the guy gambled. And I'm sure as hell not saying that he gambled on baseball, because that would make him the dumbest guy ever. I am saying I'm pretty certain that he knew more than he's letting on to. Now, again, the one thing I can't get around is Shohei's reps not communicating with him directly. We're supposed to believe that. They can't communicate with Shohei directly, only through his interpreter. Well, if the interpreter is a lying scumbag who is stealing from his alleged best friend, do you really think that he's going to communicate anything to Shohei that's going to be damaging to himself? This was Team Shohei's only line of communication to Shohei through that lying, scummy translator? I mean, if that's the case, he's got some of the worst representation ever. Because again, he would have us believe, I didn't know anything at all. I knew nothing until it all came out on Wednesday. Yeah, but your team knew, because your team let this guy talk to ESPN. So why did you not know? How could you not know? Makes no sense to me. And we got no answers to that yesterday. As far as Ipe goes, we're pretty sure he loves to gamble, but we know he loves to lie. Anybody who lies about graduating from UC Riverside loves to lie. Because what kind of psychotic lies about that? No offense, UCR. But typically, if you're going to lie about graduating from a UC school, that is probably the last one you would lie about. Someone who lies about graduating from UC Riverside loves to lie and has no shame. So that actually does scan when it comes to Ipe. The question is, does Ipe love to gamble? Or, to play along with you conspiracy theorists, is it actually Ohtani who likes to gamble, who likes that action? Not according to a few anonymous sources. A retired player told Yahoo anonymously, quote, zero chance he was gambling. He's a machine, end of quote.
Point zero.
Look, that's a retired player. A retired player speaking anonymously, so that player can say whatever the hell they want. And that player's got no reason to lie in that spot. And that player said, quote, zero chance Ohtani was gambling. He's a machine. Another anonymous former teammate told Yahoo, quote, Ohtani does not give an F about other sports like that. I've seen him in clubhouses, planes, buses. This man spends his time talking to people about his swing, watching his swing, watching bullpens. This man is obsessed with baseball. He is not cooking up prize pick parlays. End of quote. All right, first of all, for the record, nothing wrong with prize picks. In fact, everything is pretty much right with prize picks. So keep prize picks out your mouth. Hell, if Ipe and or Shohei or whoever was looking to get down had just gotten down on prize picks, like the rest of us, they would not be in this horrible spot right now. Because while it is still legal to get down, or illegal to get down the way they did in the state of California, it is completely legal for MLB players to use prize picks. And yes, in the state of California. At least given that it's legal in the state that the player is in, and as long as they aren't making any picks involving baseball. That's what they should have done. Shohei and Ipe both could have set themselves up with Prize Picks. No problem. In fact, if they had just used the promo code ROME, R-O-M-E, and taken advantage of that first deposit match up to $100, this could have all been avoided. Not only that, but you lock it in, and then you also get Alvy's picks. And Alvy is really good at doing this. Alvy knows what he's doing. Unlike Ipe or whoever lost $4.5 million, that jackass clearly had no idea what they were doing. I'm guessing that jackass has never picked even one game correctly. Not even one time. Not if they ran through that amount of money that quickly. So no, Prize Picks is not the problem. Prize Picks is never the problem. Prize Picks is the solution. Illegal bookmaking, though, is the problem. Bottom line, something else that went unanswered. Somehow 500K payments were wired from Shohei's account to this alleged illegal bookmaker. And it happened time and time and time again. And we're not sure how that happened. Even if you believe every single word Shohei said yesterday, it still is not clear how that money left his account on a consistent basis without his knowledge. We need the answer to that question. And until that is answered, there are going to be people rocking tinfoil caps, doubting the hell out of his story. Again, I want to believe the guy, but it's awfully hard to know for sure which story to even believe when the story is changing every single day. The only thing I know for sure is that the people around Shohei butchered this entire situation. They bungled the hell out of it. Whoever is supposed to be protecting Shohei did a horrendous job of protecting Shohei. Now, I would love to say that this story is going to go away really soon and we can focus on baseball, but obviously that's not the case. This story is not going to end anytime soon. Gambling is not going anywhere. Maybe it'll die down. Maybe, after Shohei's contract ends. All right, so we have that to look forward to. So where are we? 2 games into a 10-year deal. So, like, we're almost there. We're practically halfway there. So, in other words, get used to clowns posting pictures of Shohei and Mookie jerseys together saying, Ohtani Betts. Get used to hecklers wearing Shohei O'Parlay shirts. Get used to Pete Rose apologists chiming in, and of course, Pete himself.
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
I guess, Pete. Except you didn't need one because you spoke English, and so did the rest of us, and we could communicate with you directly. Hey, and you bet on baseball games. There is that. The thing about Shohei is, if they find, and again, everybody around him and he himself said it emphatically, I don't bet, I don't bet, I don't bet on baseball, especially. If he did bet on baseball, he's out for a year. If he bet on his own team, he's out for a lifetime. So obviously he wanted to make it very clear, I do not bet on baseball. I don't bet at all. Hey, remember when the biggest Shohei story was that he couldn't pitch until next season? Or that he was actually married? Or that he had, wait for it, a dog, but wouldn't give up the dog's name? Or when he was a free agent, teams could not say they spoke to him through the media or they'd risk losing him? I mean, the good old days. Good times. Man, this thing jumped the rails so fast. So, what did we get out of that yesterday? Nothing. Nothing. He gets up there. He reads from a written statement. It is interpreted. He runs his guy in front of a train and then says, that's it. The lawyers will take care of the rest. In effect, don't bother me anymore. He gave us nothing. He gave us story B. Story B with some extra sauce and energy. So what do you believe? Extra sauce, extra energy, extra it's Ipe's fault. He robbed me. He did it. I didn't know anything about it. Dude, I know you guys were close, and I know that he did more for you than just interpret. I had no idea, though, he had access to your banking information. How did that happen? Is that possible? Hey, listen, here's the thing. People with lots and lots of money have other people that do have access to their funds. Fact. There are business managers that have access to funds. I would imagine there are lawyers that have access to funds. I've never known about an interpreter that had access to funds. I don't really know. So that part is still not explained. How did the money go from Otani's account to an illegal bookmaker's account, 500 grand at a time, several times? How did that happen? How did that money leave his account? Was it Otani or was it Ipe? The first story was it was Otani. Otani did it to bail his boy out because he didn't want to give him the money directly because he knew he'd gamble it away. Yet, a day later, Otani knows nothing about anything. So there are going to be people who are skeptical because of the changing stories, and yesterday cleared up nothing. 1-800-636-8686. The other thing that I can't get my head wrapped around at all is that when it all hit the fan, when it all blew up in their face, that Otani's team, his reps, his agent, his attorney, the Dodgers, the only access they had to Otani was through his interpreter. They could not engage directly with Otani. So then everything is being filtered through the criminal, quote unquote. So what do you think he's going to tell Otani? Nothing damaging to himself, not if he can help it. We're really led to believe that this guy, the most famous athlete in the world right now, that those around him, his inner circle, his circle of trust, the only way they could get to him was through the interpreter. Come on with that. The only way to this guy was through the guy who lied about graduating from UC Riverside. Man, get the hell out of here with that. I'm not saying he gambled. I'm not saying he gambled on baseball. I'm saying, man, that's either utter bullcrap or some of the worst representation ever. That's your only way to your client? Through that guy? What, did Otani tell his own agent, hey, you don't talk to me directly. You talk through my interpreter. Come on with that. Even if there's potential criminal matters at hand, nope. We got to talk to Ipe. Yeah, but there's potentially millions of dollars missing. Talk to Ipe. Hey, Shohei, listen. There may be an illegal bookmaking operation and the feds are crawling around. I'll say it again. You want to talk to me? You talk to Ipe. And whatever he says is true. Believe it. Don't question it. Don't fact check it. Don't check his resume. Just take it as the gospel. They didn't do him any favors. And also, one more thing. This is what he said to the media yesterday. What if the feds get into this thing deep? What if they want to talk to him? Saying something to the media is one thing. Saying something to those types of investigators is entirely another. What story do you tell then? 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead. I'll open it up to you. What do you think happened? Who do you believe? Are you at all satisfied after yesterday? Now what? Now what? What part of this do you not believe? What do you actually believe? So we have that topic. Other things, the other major controversy, rule changes in the NFL. I knew people would push back on this. I had no idea they'd push back as hard as they did. But we'll get into that. Another rule change to benefit the offense and another chorus of just put flags on them. How can we even play the game? Here's my thing. Just spoiler alert. I do not have an issue with the rule change. I don't. Guys do get hurt because of that tackle. I don't have an issue with the hip drop tackle. What I do have an issue with is thinking that the ref show is going to be able to call this consistently. They butcher everything else. Why would they not butcher this as well? Oh, great news this morning. Incredible news this morning, especially if you're a Pittsburgh Penguin fan. They found the Jaromir Bobbles. However, something else I do not understand. They found them, but they had to negotiate for their release. Again, they found them. 18,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads. However, a special task force had to negotiate for their release. What happened to we don't negotiate with terrorists? What happened to we don't negotiate with bobblehead crooks? Apparently, they did. Oh, and a gambling scandal, I should say, in the NBA. A lot of that going on. All right, Rick Barnes, top of the hour. Greg McDermott coming up in hour number three. Me, cold as hell. Cold as hell. Jacketed up in my studio. Thermostat jacked up. Sports fans, are you ready to take your game to the next level? Introducing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. With over 3 million active members, Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Personally, I never played. I never was into daily fantasy sports because, frankly, I didn't want to mess with the sharks. They knew better than me. I knew not to swim in that water. However, this is different. I love this. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. In other words, no gnarly leagues, no sharks. You can win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. Turn $10 into $1,000 with pro basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, and with injury insurance, your entries stay in play even if your player gets injured. It is simple to play. Make your picks, submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. With weekly promotions and offers, the excitement never stops. You can even use Apple Pay for easy deposits into your account this basketball season, so download that app right now. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Rome, R-O-M-E, on Prize Picks for deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So, are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Do not compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windshield. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you choose from their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. They will even install them free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, some quick reaction for you. The phone lines are ringing. That's the good news. The bad news is those who are calling me, they're not making it better. That's why they're not getting on the air. If you can make it better, I'd love to have you. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. At Squirrel 2, quote, "You're cold. Now you know how I feel. Yours, Ted Williams." That's me, Jimmy Bomb Pop. Teddy Bomb Pop and Jimmy Bomb Pop. I hope that's not what my family has in store for me. I hope Rogues and Jake are, you know what we should do? Dad's going to live forever. We'll take his head. We'll put it on this robot body. We'll just stick him in a refrigerator. Don't go, Pop. No, boys, when it's time for me to go, I'm going to go. No, you're going to live forever. Rogues will be like, no, Jake and I researched this. You can live forever. Cryogenics. We want to make sure. Hey, Pop. Smack off 30? Psst, please. We want to be around for smack off 90, and we want you around for smack off 90. Rome Slice, let me guess. It's 75 degrees in the studio. Make sure you put your leather jacket on, pimp. Regards, Southern Californians. Geoff and Lincoln. Geoff, go away, man. You're not funny. You're not amusing. You're not clever. You don't make it better. Nobody ever laughs at any of your stuff. Yet you just keep coming every single day without invitation. Hey, Rome, would you say you are cold as ice? Sign foreigner. Yes.
You're as cold as ice.
Oh, wait, Avi. Jardavius in NC sent that. Jardavius. Again, I've never blocked anybody, but I have banned a couple people. This is your last warning, dude. This is your last warning. I know you. You'll change your handle. You'll look for a way around it. The next thing that hits my inbox from Jardavius gets you banned. It's a rule, dude. At Mean Mountaineer writes, bring back the piece of crap club so we can put the gambling interpreter in it. We retired that club. We can't bring that back. I mean, I could. He definitely would be like, if you're trying to join a club, you know how if you join a golf club or a country club, you need references. You need somebody to vouch for you. He'd be one of those guys that would probably get in. He'd be on the short list. I'm sure somebody could vouch for him being a scumbag. Like, I don't know, UC Riverside or the Red Sox or the Yankees. Apparently, Shohei. Shohei would give him a ringing endorsement for the piece of crap club. Hey, Rome. Give yourself a tongue for that opening segment, and then give yourself a cup of warm water so you can remove that tongue. Good point. Eric in L.A. East Bay Troy is in. Clearly, Trevor Price was giving Ipe picks.
Double it.
Love Trevor Price. Trevor Price was a damn good player. He was a great NFL player, Trevor. And Trevor's done really well in business, off of the field, post-career. One year we did a podcast. It was before Big Head Bets. And Trevor and I would just talk it up, talk some games. I remember one week he went like 0 for 8. 0 for 7, maybe 0 for 8. Got every single game wrong. That's how hard it is. A guy who played the game, a guy who's really bright and played the game at the highest level, went 0 for 7 one week. And on top of that, he belched on air once.
You know, play some, you know, safe things, but at least the Texans let Deshaun. Ooh, excuse me. You got to do that again.
Or at least never do that ever again.
At least the Texans.
Texans minus 4. Who did I just do?
That was the sort of rapport that Trevor Price and I had. He'd come in. He'd say something. He'd belch in the middle of the comment. I miss that guy. Rome, there's absolutely no chance that Tiger cheated on his wife. The guy's a machine. Sincerely, anonymous retired PGA Tour player. From Chief in the 406. That's fair. That's fair, right? I mean, when you thought about Eldrick back in the day, you thought about a guy who cared about nothing except being cheap and golf. You thought about a guy who cared about nothing other than not tipping and playing golf and snatching souls and winning. He was a machine.
That's private.
Wearing red shirts on Sunday, fist pumping, not only catching Jack Nicklaus, but smashing Jack Nicklaus and running right by him and never tipping anybody. Or sharing his sugar-free popsicles with Hank Haney. or picking up any of those Navy SEALs who worked and trained with him all day long. And then when it came time for lunch, asking for six separate bills.
I gotten away from my core values.
Romy Steelskin. That was a great statement from Shohei's lawyers. Shohei's heart yesterday. We believe everything he said. Signed, Rafael Palmeiro, Bill Clinton, and OJ's jury.
Oh.
V and the fee. Yeah, you remember Rafi getting up there, waving his finger at people.
I have never used steroids, period. I do not know how to say it any more clearly than that. Never. The reference to me in Mr. Canseco's book is absolutely
true. Absolutely true. Carlin Prescott, our interpreter told me to turn right into the bridge. Signed, the captain of the barge in Baltimore. Dude, don't be an idiot. There are still people not accounted for. That was tragic and terrifying. I would say still too soon, but it's always going to be too soon. Oh, look who's here. The Laguna Beach Bully. Shohei will be a great Dodger. We are also great Dodgers. Thanks, the surviving fish below the bridge. Dude, bridge smack is not funny. The boat loses power, slams into a bridge. The bridge collapses. People working on the bridge go into the water. The water was cold enough to create hypothermia for the victims. There are those that are still unaccounted for, and you're making bridge jokes. See, this is where I get caught sometimes with association or guilt by association. I never say crap like that, but it was said on my show, so therefore Rome must have said it. And if Rome didn't say it, Rome must have encouraged it. Or if Rome didn't encourage it, Rome at least condoned it. None of it's okay. And one more G-off. Oh, great. Another G-off. G-off fits. More, quote, subjective rules, more in-game delays to, quote, check the replay in all sports, more ubiquity of instant gambling tools available to anyone with a phone. I'm sensing a pattern here. Even if untrue, it sure looks like fixing, doesn't it? Bam. Dude, break out that tinfoil hat. Have it surgically implanted to your head and never take it off. Oh, that's why they changed that rule. To ensure that they could fix the game. This is why on the kickoffs, they're now going to stand 5 yards away from each other. So they can fix the game more easily. No, they're doing what they always do. Making it easier for offensive players to stay on the field and put up points, making the game safer. You know what they're trying to fix? The product. They're trying to make sure that the best players are available. They're trying to make sure that the product is as entertaining as possible. And the reason they're doing that, or how they're doing that, they're going to make it tougher and tougher on defensive players. That's why defensive players are so pissed. Every single year there's a rule change, and it's always going to impact the defense more than the offense, because offense sells tickets. Offense brings eyeballs. Offense is more entertaining. Or if you'd rather, just go with the fixes in conspiracy theory. In fact, let me help you out here, Geoff. I used to say this back in the day, just in fun. Everything is fixed. Every game is fixed. Everything you ever watch is fixed. It's all fake. Nothing is real. Everything is fixed. And I used to say that in jest. However, some of you people actually believe it now. All right, we'll get into that too. 1-800-636-8686. Once again, good Sweet 16 matchup. And I've got the coaches from both teams. Tennessee v. Creighton. Rick Barnes, top of the hour. Greg McDermott, last segment, hour number three. Does anybody have a take on Shohei and what you heard yesterday? What do you think happened? What do you believe? What are you doing with it? Time now for a sports update. Here it is. Here's Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so I'm going to ask you to reset yourselves, all right? You have a telephone number. You've got a platform on X to find me. You can also hit me up with your email. Just kind of hit reset, reboot. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to hit on? I spent the entire open on Shohei. We knew he had to come forward. We knew he had to say something. And also, we knew he'd say nothing at all, which is pretty much what he did. He stuck to story B. He hammered his guy, ran him under the bus, pushed him in front of a tree, and then threw him off a cliff. We knew this. He went with story B. What I want to know is, where did story A come from? And then all the other questions. And we will talk about the NFL rule change, and I'll talk some Sweet 16. Meantime, I want to get involved. 1-800-636-8686. Let's get a phone call in. We go to South Carolina. Jack, it's good to have you, Jack. How are you?
Doing well, man.
What's up?
He doesn't speak English, right? And he has a translator, correct?
Correct.
So all of his contracts basically would be in English, and the only person that he could go through is this dude. And it looks like a case of pick the wrong dude. I mean, I've been in scenarios where I was the only person that spoke English, and it was all Spanish, and they were telling me all sorts of stuff, and I was taking their word for it, and they had me saying some silly stuff. And that's a small side of it. You know, the 13th Warrior is kind of the moment that I feel like he had. We were sitting there, and then things are getting pieced together. They were $500,000 payments, right?
Yes.
It wasn't one lump sum.
No, $500,000. Several $500,000 payments.
We just mix that in with this paperwork, say, hey, man, I need you to sign off here, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He can't read it.
Yeah, I mean, yes, Jack, to your point, if he had that kind of access and he had that kind of authority and he had that kind of control, then yes. Yes, that would happen. You know, especially, I don't know Shohei. Hell, none of us know Shohei. But if you listen to some of these former teammates anonymously saying things like, man, he doesn't care about any other sport. He almost doesn't care about anything at all except baseball and his swing. And that's his obsession. So if you've got a guy like that with all these interests and all this money, I can tell you this. I don't know who else had access to his funds, but I can almost assure you that somebody else had access to his funds. Do you really think that Shohei is sitting in his house paying his own bills? Do you really think that Shohei is sitting around checking his stock portfolio? People have access to other people's funds. This is not unusual. What I want to know is, did the interpreter have access to his funds? Ipe said something along the lines of, me interpreting for Shohei is only 10% of the job. I do lots of things for him. And he did. I mean, we saw him. He effectively was a brother, a best friend, a business partner, an interpreter. At Home Run Derby, he was catching. Like, the guy's everywhere. He does personal errands for him and favors. They're almost inseparable. So, I mean, it is conceivable, believe it or not, maybe he did have access to his funds. I know that sounds crazy, but maybe he trusted him enough. What if he saw him as part of his business or a business manager type? I don't know. This is why I want to know. Did he have access to those funds? If he had access to those funds, then I could easily see him redirecting those funds. Now, you might say to me, Are you kidding? You wouldn't know if you had 500 grand go missing? I'm going to say to you, it's conceivable that he would not know that he had 500 grand missing for two reasons. If you have well over 100 mil in the bank, you might not be missing 500 grand. If you have 100 mil in the bank and it's invested a certain way and you're getting a lot of interest and you're not checking very often, that number's going to fluctuate a little bit and you wouldn't even know if you have that much money. I mean that. You might not know. Say you had $112,483,000 in the bank. So you drop down to $111 million. You might not know. What if it happened several times? Because we now know it didn't go in a lump sum. We know the amount was $4.5 million, reportedly, and that only $500 was going out at a time, and written on each transfer was loan. I mean, if he's not paying attention, if he's assuming that his business people are paying his bills, watching his finances, and he's locked in on his rehab and his baseball, and he's not one of those guys who logs in to check his account and check his funds, maybe, I need to know whether or not the interpreter had access to those funds. I guarantee somebody else did, other than Shohei. I just don't know that it was that guy. If it was that guy, maybe yes, I could see that happening. If he did not have access, then Shohei himself moved the money. And if Shohei himself moved the money, Shohei knew about it long before Wednesday. That's the other thing I'm having trouble understanding. How did Shohei not find out until Wednesday? Because all the information coming in was filtered through the interpreter? You want me to believe that? Okay. If we take that at face value, he's got some of the worst representation ever. Because those same reps said to Ipe, ESPN's working a story, go talk to him. Tell your story. Did they think that was going to make that whole thing go away? Did his reps think that if Ipe went to ESPN and said, I have a gambling problem, Shohei just cleared the debt for me, that the whole thing would just go away? That is bad reps.